Let's stand. Could we, and I'll just read a portion of Scripture, and we'll get into the Word. And we're going to go to Philippians chapter 1. Oh, Lord. Verses 27 through 30. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. And in the context, Paul is writing from prison to the Philippian church who is heavily persecuted. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the context of this message and how it challenges us today. Lord, help us to reflect your word. Use us to glorify you, Lord God, in this dark world that desperately, desperately needs you. Use this time, I pray, we pray, for your eternal glory in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So it's been, he's writing to the Philippian church, he says, it's been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And so, how many want to raise their hand for that one? So it's been granted to you, he says, to suffer for the name of Jesus. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately, thinking on my mindset and thinking upon suffering, and it's been granted, and it's been, and I can say it's been granted to me to suffer for his sake. That's an odd concept, but if we think about it properly, Jesus said, you know, blessed in Matthew 5, he says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so if we're thinking at it properly, I've been granted to suffer, well, give me some. Because that is a blessing. But I can honestly tell you I'm not quite there yet. So I'm working on the suffering part, and I'm working on mindset part, and Paul talks about that conflict within. He's ready to go. I can tell I'm ready to go, but he also says, "But it's better if I stay." And when I think about that comment, I think about Sophia and my wife. It's better if I can stay. If I get to have some more years, maybe that will be better for my family. Maybe the more I press, maybe that could be better for you. Either way, either how I finish, that's going to be best for you. Just finish well, brother. Amen? Just die if you got to. But die daily if you have to, too. And sometimes that's harder. Dying daily. Peter was ready to just end it. And Jesus wanted more, didn't he? Just, I'll go, I'll die right now, Peter says. And but Jesus wouldn't let him, did he? That was a good one on Peter. He did what he said. He actually did what, I'm ready to go. He jumps out with the knife and he's ready to attack the garrison going against him. And Jesus just saves him for the moment. You just sit down, Peter. Put your knife away. You're going to serve for a long time. And so Paul, he's stressed. He's pressed. He's hard pressed, he says to him. I want to go be with Jesus. He's writing from prison. I want to be with Jesus, but I think I'm staying. But I'm not sure. If you're watching, I'm not 100% sure. I'm probably going to be staying a while. But so he believes he'll be continuing in the work, and I do too. I believe it, but it doesn't get easier. It's been this last year has been a tough year, and it seems like I say that every year. It's true. Hallelujah. But it's been a cumulative toll. The pain and the suffering is a constant. I'm constantly aware of the danger. When I'm up here, my wife and my baby are still down there, my family, my loved ones, and it's just this constant pain that I've had to deal with. I didn't know I was going to be dealing with that for 20 years, but here we are, and that's part of what I need to accept. It's been granted to me for that, so that's my lot. That's what God wants for me right now, and so it's a pressing. And this year, the pressing between the stress, and I was looking on the way, you know, the stressors in my life. You know, when COVID hit and was at its worst, it was number 5 on my stressor list. That's not so bad. Well, so anyway, I've just been pressed, and this year, and it's been this, over the years, I've felt it coming. I haven't been 100% right. And this year it's just I just got totally wiped out, and I said I don't know if I can keep going. I was pressed to the point of collapse. One of my newsletters, I did collapse. I passed out right after a mission, and on the roadside, that was kind of interesting. My son caught me before my head hit the dirt, but anyway, just been a pressing and a cumulative toll, and I've sought counsel over the years for what I need to deal with down there, and my counselor says, well, you've been working in burnout for the last several years, he basically told me, you're right at the point of nervous breakdown. And so that got my attention. So I've been thinking on that, and really thinking about what he's told me, and that I need to find rest, and I thought about my friend. I have a ministry friend in Iowa. He's been in ministry about as long as I have, and he's the biggest man I've ever seen in ministry. He goes about 400 pounds, and he can carry 300 easily, nicely, and so he's about a 4. So I thought, man, you got to take better care of yourself, brother, is my thought, but it wasn't his body that broke down in the ministry. It was his mind that finally just, I can't do this. And we see that, and we see pastors fall and missionaries fall. And one of the stats that got my attention from my counsel is he said, you've never had a break. In 20 years, you've never taken a sabbatical. Missionary boards make their missionaries take a break for a reason. He said, people like you, when they finally do get a break, this he goes, 75% of them never return to the field. I understand. I understand, but in the same token, but I don't feel like I'm being led to leave the field, so I'm working at it. I'm working at it. Last week's message was poignant for this week's message as well, because in my own life, I've had to reevaluate. I've tried over the years to put the work with the relationship, and in some degree it always is, but work can't replace relationship with Christ, even when you're in ministry. So my priorities were mixed up, and that's part of the stress. Part of why I got to where I did is because my priorities had to be rearranged in the last several months to put my relationship with Jesus Christ over the work that I do for Jesus Christ. And some of you, can I just in all love ask you, is Jesus Christ first in your life? Because if you call yourself a Christian, that's his position. And sometimes, church, calling yourself a Christian isn't the same as being a Christian. And like Pastor Eric preached, we need that new heart, a heart of flesh that desires Christ above all else. And when we don't have him there, he's jealous, isn't he? He wants his position. And it's best for us when he has his position, even though it's not easy. He didn't say it would be easy, did he? He was very direct, just like Pastor Eric. Jesus is very direct in his style. Hey, this ain't going to be easy. Oh, okay, let me follow you. But he has the way to eternal life, and you don't. And I don't. So that's our option. It's very simple. The gospel is very simple. He says, follow me, and we decide by what we do or not do if we're going to or not. It's very simple. That's our opportunity. You know the way to heaven? I want to follow you. I'm going to follow you. You paid for my sins? I can't do that. Thank you. Thank you. That's simple, right? Not easy, but it's simple. Very simple. Follow me. Follow me. Okay, Lord. Okay. I you're Lord. I'm not. I don't know the answer. I don't know the way. You know the way. I don't. And so it's a tremendous challenge. In evaluating and seeking counsel, I needed things simple. And so for years I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't pinpoint it. You know, I'm seeking. How can I think about this in a way that I understand? Well, burnout. It's fatigue. Yeah, basically my system got caught into overdrive for about 15 years. Like on high alert, and I didn't know. It's easy to know why, but it's got caught in high alert. We're not designed for high alert all the time, and so just being aware. Fatigue, one, burnout, fatigue, isolation, danger. 1, 2, 3, fatigue. I'm tired all the time, all the time. Well, because I was in fight, flight, or freeze mode all the time. And so, and you know how I learned? As an overwhelmed mom wrote a really good book, and she explained some stuff to me in a way I could understand. She had a bunch of kids running around, and she got overwhelmed and totally wiped out by it. And then she started studying it, and then so that really helped me. Now I can understand. I wake up wired, folks. I have to think for my nerves to settle down. And it only happens for a few moments, and then they're back up. So that's part of what I'm working on. It doesn't have not much to do with the sermon, but now you know a little bit more about me. And you know, the counselor, he goes, "You want me to write your board?" You know, and he's got like red flags going up. I will write your board. And I said, "No, I thought no, they already know I'm nuts. They don't need, you know." So, but anyway, we're working on a break toward the end of the year, and we hope that works out. So I'll keep moving here. Somebody said I have till 1:45. I'll try to cut it shorter than that. But God asks us, you know, when you start, when you realize, you know, as I did, coming out of alcoholism, I totally ruined my life, and there was no way I could ever pay for the sins that I committed, and Jesus Christ did that for me. And when we understand that, and we had the opportunity to respond to that, the joy of salvation is intense, isn't it? It is so wonderful to know my sins are paid. There's no way I could do that for myself. And so there's an excitement there. But then there's later that the story doesn't end there, because then he gives us a responsibility that we didn't even ask for. He gives us something impossible. He says, now you're the light of the world. Huh? And if we claim Christ, and that's our responsibility. You're the light. You're the light now. You are to reflect me, Jesus says. But Jesus, I'm not perfect like you. But I still call you to reflect me. Wow. And he asked the impossible, and not to be, here's this, hey, Paul talking to the Philippians, and he says, hey, let your conduct be worthy in this stress test you're under. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, even though you might be killed tomorrow or thrown in prison like me, Paul is saying. Let your conduct be worthy of Jesus Christ. And then he goes like this, he goes, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition. What? You know, I'm going through all this stuff and I'm sorting it all out, and then the cartel and the gunmen stopped by our facility to pay us a visit about a month ago. And with their gunmen, they let it be known they were there and that maybe we should have to pay to be there. That'll hit your nervous system. We weren't home at the time. My guess is they knew that. So, how do you do the impossible? Don't be terrified. What are you talking about? Can I see the next picture? I raised one daughter in a drug war, and now I have her. When I think about the drug war that we've gone through, I think about when I sent Jacqueline onto the bus, and the dead body was thrown out in front of the bus purposefully. Now I got my 6-year-old. She's cute, ain't she? That's on my cell phone, that picture on the right, because it reminds me of everything I have to be as a man. Side note. Next picture. I want to wrap her up in bubble. She's learning how to ride her bike without the training wheels, and I want to wrap her up in bubble wrap. You know, I want to protect her. With all my heart, I want to protect her and my wife. And, we had to have the conversation again, honey, because if somebody gets abducted, just mathematically, Minnie would probably get abducted before me. And so I just said, honey, what do you want me to do if you get abducted? She said, if you do anything, make sure there's proof of life. But Jesus says, don't be terrified. It's terrifying, isn't it? But Jesus said, don't be terrified of your enemies. That's just more proof of how lost they are. But that's hard to get your mind to that. So, and then I have to struggle. You know, I'm not as courageous as you might think. I don't want to be tortured to death either. And maybe I won't, but that's what we have to face. It says, let your conduct be worthy. And it's been a struggle for joy, and I mentioned to my counselor, I'm mad at God. And he's like, why are you mad at God? I said, I don't like it. I don't like my options. I haven't liked my options for 20 years. I didn't say it like that, but, I tried to keep myself. this is hard. You know, God can handle when you're mad. You know that? Oh, thank you, Lord. He's so faithful, just teaching me along. It's just amazing. I'm the other brother now. You know the prodigal? I came out of that. And then over the years of ministry and pain and frustration and anger, now I became the other brother. I'm glad there isn't three brothers. But the other brother, the one that's outside the party going, I've been serving you. I've been serving you, and you don't even give me a goat to cook for my buddies. In the frustration of the work, the father comes out to the second son while the celebration he'd been waiting for who knows how long is going on. The father says, "It's looking," and this is the father's love, people. He's looking for you to come home. And when you're not home, he's looking for you. My son's home. And then he says, "Where's my other boy?" So it's not the prodigal son parable, it's the loving father parable, if you read the thing. It's how loving the father is. He goes out and he says, you know what he does? This ain't even in my message. He goes out to that son. And that son's all mad. What does he say? Son, everything I have is yours. And I imagine him sitting out looking at the facility. It's all that I have is yours. And we don't know the end of that story. But for me, I'm just asking Dad to sit with me for a little bit. Dad, I'm sorry. Can you sit here with me? Just a little bit. It's just been hard. Never been more aware of my weakness. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So, I've been learning how to eat my stinky fruit lately. You know what stinky fruit is? I didn't either till I lived down in New Mexico. They got papaya down there. Anybody know what papaya is? A couple of you know papaya. It stinks, doesn't it? One of my grandchildren says, this really stinks. Yeah, I know. Eat your papaya. It's kind of pretty, though. It's about this big, and it's dark orange, and it looks really attractive, and I've grown accustomed to it a little bit. And here, right here, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What's the next one? Long-suffering. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You are Christ-like when you are this. And we'd like to take that one right out of there, wouldn't we? Long-suffering, boy. But I'm learning. I'm learning. I hope you're learning with me. We need to keep going. And I've learned that fruit tastes pretty good at times, and it's good for you. And we got a couple of those growing at the facility, a couple of papaya. So one of the questions that the counselor asked me, he says, is it worth it? Is it worth it to have your lives at risk all the time, basically, and especially in the coming months here, these next few months? And I thought, well, and I'm thinking about the question, you know, storms can be a little disorientating, and I know the answer is yes, but it's hard to feel that sometimes. So I pondered the question, and I think, well, wouldn't you have to ask then if it was worth the last 20 years too? And then would the next couple months be worth it? And I can tell you that the next couple months have been worth it, because in the last month, I've seen a text 19 years in the making from my son. Some of you know my son. We were waiting since he's 15. He left. We've been waiting for him, waiting for him, waiting for him. Last year at this time, he came back, and he's been working side by side, sweating with me, just working. I've been working him. And he sent me a text on my way up here, and he just says, "Dad, I love you, Dad. Thanks for being there through everything." And then my daughter came home. I've been waiting for her for 12 years, and I couldn't even text her because she was in such danger for the situation she was in. She's home, and the grandkids are home. Let's go to the next picture. There's me with the grandkids for the first time. They're all together, and a couple extra ones in there, too, for the kids. The first time, that's my oldest. You know, if you know me, there's no biological connection to these kids. It's the blood of Jesus that connects me. And there's my Gustavo's my oldest. He's 16 now. My face is red because I just finished one-on-one basketball with him. So he says, now we got the important one. He says, because they all gathered and he made a special effort to come out to get a picture. And he says, now we got the important one, the one with Grandpa. That was a lot of work to get to that. And I won 10-9 just for all grandparenthood everywhere. I pulled out the last second three that you'd all be proud of. I went in, thank God. Then he goes to my brother-in-law, Grandpa still got three range. I was like, whew. That was a good one. You know, I get thinking, a lot of the years, what if the worst happens? What if the worst happens? Well, these facilities that we built can be gone in a day. If the cartel comes and says, here, you can either leave or we'll shoot you, I'll say, goodbye. Have a nice day. We can lose it in a moment. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. Look at what's already been done. Look at how God, and I've wrestled with this question for years because I feel very responsible, connected to all of us, connected like that. God asked, doesn't Abel's blood still cry out from the ground? Why, yes, it does. Injustice cries out. It leaves a testimony. It leaves a mark. Would Job now save his kids if he could go back in time to save them? Now, after God has used Job's lives for millions of us to encourage us, would he now go back? No, I don't think he would. Would Stephen now cut the message short before he got stoned? I don't think he would. Would Paul now, instead of pouring his blood out as a sacrifice to God, would he rather just have sipped wine for a few more years in retirement? Would Peter have renounced Jesus Christ one more time to just extend his life a few more years? I don't think he would. So we have to develop this mindset. Would the Jim Elliot and the five that were killed in Ecuador in 1956, Jim Elliot could be 95 right now. Would he now go back and say, oh, I'd love to be 95 right now, looking back at my life? No, he would not, because God used his life in a glorious way, and that's how he wants to use us. Even the tragedies turned for his glory. Isn't that an awesome thing? Could somebody applaud or something? Because it is an awesome thing how God does his thing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Nate Saint, one of those five, said, missionaries constantly face expendability. I always call it putting my face to fire. I get tired of putting my face to the fire. Missionaries constantly face expendability. I see like a fireman with his axe. Let's roll. when Jesus sent out the disciples, he said, behold. And now when God says, behold, it's just an incredible word to me. But behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. And it's still odd to me, and I've been thinking about it the last few days. So I'm a block laying, cement shoveling, pickaxe wielding, sweating, bleeding, stand up front, Bible thumping, lamb. Okay, Lord. Dear Lord. Dear Lord. Jim Elliot said this. He says, missionaries are very human folks just doing what they're asked. Simply a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt somebody. Capital S. There's a song about it today. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about the somebody that saved my soul from alcoholism 25 years ago, and here we are, hallelujah, in the fire. Thank you, Lord. John the Baptist said it best when he saw Jesus walking toward him, and with that I'll close today. Why don't we have the worship team work their way up here, please? Worship team. John 1, verse 29. So the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Have you come to the Lamb? He can't love you anymore. This is a hard world full of sin, and he knew it, so that's why he came. We can't save ourselves. Maybe another question as I wrap my time up. Do you, like I've needed to do these last months, do you need to reprioritize your life? Getting overwhelmed by all the busyness? Let's pray. Lord, you're the Lamb, and you are also the Lion. Thank you, Lord. You are now seated at the right hand of God, the Father. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to save us from ourselves. Lord, help us that there might be one, Lord, today that haven't come to know you and wants to know you, Lord. May I pray, Lord, not my way anymore. I want your way. I want to learn from you. I want to grow. I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive my sins. And for others of us, Lord, like myself, Lord, help me reprioritize. I want that relationship. I want that time with you, that Father-Son time, even sitting on the hill on the outside, just sitting there with you, Daddy. I want that time. I want that peace that surpasses understanding when the world is so confusing and challenging at times. Lord, help us. Thank you, Lord, because you're always faithful, always faithful. Thank you for all that you're doing and all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.